Hello there, my friend, and welcome back to another episode of Tourism Marketing Mastery. And I've got an interesting episode for you. I know I say that a lot, but this episode is going to be on a new model for tour companies that works post-pandemic. Well, I guess in the pandemic and post-pandemic, and we're watching it work right now. So I want to share that with you.
Hey, my name is Eric Hatterscheit, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters and what we do matters.
Okay, so let's give context to this episode. We're going to be talking about a new model for tour-based businesses. I'm going to preface this with saying this model isn't for everyone. However, it's a model that is working. It's working for us. We're literally making bookings and filling our calendars right now. And it's a model that I believe other tour companies can adopt and are actually in a good position to based on the pre-existing skills and resources that you have as a tour company. So what is it? Essentially, it's a model that looks at really honing your business towards a very specific niche, which I've talked about before, but we do it in a way that's essentially, it's almost a club. So let me explain where some of this is coming from. I was having a conversation with a tour operator in Europe, and they were talking about how it was just difficult to do anything during the pandemic. And so really their attitude was, let me just hunker down and take the government support and build what I can, you know, with that support, whether it's my marketing or social media or whatever. And it's mainly just relying on the money that's coming in from the government and allowing yourself to blame COVID, which is a very legitimate thing to blame in our own business for sure as well. Not so much actually in the resort or the tour company, but in our consulting, COVID definitely had an impact on the individuals that wanted to work with us to move their businesses forward. Because obviously when you've got this all going on, you want to reserve your reserves, so to speak. And that totally makes sense to me. However, I think having the attitude of, oh, there's no business out there, it's impossible, is incorrect. And so I want to share with you what we're doing and what I've seen a couple of other businesses that we've worked with, what they're doing that seems to be making sense. So let's take a look first at what the problem is with the current thinking or the current reality around tour business. So typically, if you run a tour business, and I know this isn't going to be all of you that are out there, and some of you might not even run a tour company that are out there, but for those of you that do, and I know there's a fair amount, you have often thought about your business as, I'm going to showcase the destination. So the thing really that you're niching in is the product or the product, let's say. And there's actually three ways to niche. So let's talk about that. First is you can niche in your product or service. So the thing that you offer, you're very specific about it. Now, inherently and naturally as a tour company, there's an element of this because most likely, at least for most of you, there is an element of, oh, I'm going to niche into showcasing my destination, my location, the geography, or the things that are in the geography. So the niche itself is the destination. The second way of niching is to the demographic. So who you're actually bringing in the door. And some of you might have that to some degree, but this is where a lot of tour companies fail, is that they don't really niche that tightly to the demographic. They say anybody that's interested in this destination is somebody that I'm willing to bring on tour. Now that works, and it can work really well if you have an international market and people that are visiting your destination, then that's great. What happens when that goes out the door, as it did during the pandemic, and essentially you're getting almost no visitors, probably no visitors that are international? So now that market's dried up. Well, if that's the case, then we can look at, let's niche to a specific demographic. And what I'm going to argue is you want to niche to a specific interest group. So maybe you niche to individuals that are really into history, or maybe you niche to individuals that are really into books, or maybe you niche to individuals that are really into hiking, or you, whatever it is. And I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but pick a niche or an interest that a fair number of locals have in your area. So pick that niche. The third way that we can niche, so I said there's three. First is your product or service. You can niche that. The second is the demographic. And the third is both. And the third option is really what I'm going to be focusing on the most today, which is, how do you niche both the product or service, but also niche to the demographic? And in this case, what we'd be looking at is, hey, we're going to focus on a specific interest group. So in our case, it's motorcycles. So people that are really into motorcycles, we're focusing on them. And the product or service in this case for us is a little bit different. For us, it's not necessarily the location. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I think we're niching almost in three ways. One is the locations we're going to are inherently locations that haven't been explored before. So we are niching that. That's unique. We're also niching specifically to individuals that have an interest in our case, motorcycles. And then the third component is understanding that the thing that you're selling isn't just showcasing the cool thing about the location. It's actually about taking your guests through a transformation experience. And I've talked about all of these elements, I've touched on them in previous podcasts, but I've never really broken this down in one specific podcast with why our tour company is doing relatively well. And when I say relatively, we're not a massive tour company. So I need to preface this with saying we're not huge. We're definitely not like multi-million dollar tour company, but we do produce a relatively healthy six-figure income. And during COVID, we had zero cancellations. People just postponed, essentially. And we've actually continued to book in individuals for the adventures, the experiences that we're putting on. So obviously something is working for us. And I'm not saying that we're the best out there. By no means am I considering us to be the best out there. But what we're doing is working well for us. And I want to share that with you because I want you to consider what your opportunities are, and they might be different than what you've considered before. So how do we put all this to play? So we've got three different ways that you can niche. How do you put this into action? What I want you to consider is, you're already a provider of experience. You're already the kind of person that knows how to entertain individuals, give a great experience, and do that in a way that people are willing to pay for. So what I want you to consider is, with your local population, what is a relatively high interest? And ideally, it's something that you yourself have an interest in. So maybe it's hiking. Maybe it's, I know I give examples before. Maybe it could be kayaking. It could be a million different things. Pick something that you've got a potential interest in, and you know a group of other individuals has an interest in. And turn this, think about it as a club. So rather than thinking about it as a tour company, think about it as a club. And there's definitely benefits to this. I'm going to outline some of the benefits that come with creating a club as your quote unquote tour company or experience company, let's call it that, as opposed to your traditional tour company. And I'm not saying you have to keep it a club forever, but there actually are a lot of benefits in keeping it a club. So first and foremost, with a club, often with a club, you actually have the ability to have some kind of application form. So that implies right off the bat that you're selecting individuals that are good for each other, and not just anybody can make it in. And you'd be surprised at how that actually increases the caliber of the people that are coming in the door. Another massive benefit to a club is people continue to come back. Often with a tour company, when you're, especially if you're marketing to international tourists, those individuals, they come once, they've done the experience, they're not coming back again in most cases. So you constantly have to go after a new market. With a club, if you do this well, you have members that will stick around for years. We've had individuals, and we put the connotation out there right from the beginning. This is something where if you find this is a fit, this is something you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. So you have inherently built into it repeat business. Another aspect here is with the club, we found that there's actually a ton of individuals that want to volunteer their time, their attention to help you grow the club because they believe in building the community, which really brings me to my I think fourth point. You build a community. You build a community that sticks, and that is amazing. There's a lot of benefits that come from having a community, because now all of a sudden your quote unquote guests, which are now members, they're helping each other out. And a lot of the value that they get out of this experience isn't all on you. So the pressure is not all on you to deliver an amazing experience. Part of the experience in a big way comes from the interaction with the other members and them being able to share that interest, help each other out, learn more about the thing or develop in that area or that skill. And that allows you to take a bit of a step back and say, hey, this thing, like this, if I bring a bunch of people together, I don't necessarily have to do or say anything. Just the nature of them being able to interact means that they're going to get a great experience out of this. Another thing is inherently clubs have, they have dues. You can actually charge dues for a club. You can charge a monthly membership. So you can charge a monthly membership, or you can charge based on the experience itself. So if you are organizing this and you're taking people out, then that's something that you can charge for because there's a cost to it. There's actually a company that I really respect down in the States. They're called Wilderness, and they also do moto tours, so to speak. And I know that the founder of that, and he has no idea I'm putting this in the podcast, but I definitely, if any of you guys know him, you can refer me, but I respect the hell out of what they're doing. But he started essentially this way. He started by more or less forming a club, and that evolved into a very successful tour company down in the States, where now he takes individuals out on expeditions. And now it's a lot of individuals that come, and a lot of them do come once, but there's a fair amount of repeat business in that as well, because he's building a community at the same time that he's building this as a tour business. So those are a few of the initial benefits. Another thing here too is that you can, and I'm not saying you have to, but you can advertise this as a not-for-profit model. And if you're in the tour business, there's a good chance that you're not getting rich out of this. In most cases, most tour operators are not getting rich what they do. They're doing it because this is a passion. This is what they are absolutely interested in spending their time doing. But there's stresses with it as well. However, when you run a club, you can run this as a not-for-profit. And just because it's a not-for-profit does not mean that you can't get paid. I don't know what the laws are in your country necessarily, but I know for sure in Canada, if you run a not-for-profit, you're allowed to take a personal wage of up to $250,000 a year. And for most of you, that would be a fantastic compensation for running a not-for-profit, and it's okay not to make more than that in profit. In fact, I would argue that if you're listening to this, there's a really good chance you're not making more than that for yourself right now. So it's just another bonus in terms of the way that you market and advertise this. You say, hey, you know, I'm not in this to make a profit or big money. I just want to be compensated for organizing all the events and all my time that goes into this. This way as well, you also are able to market to a local market. And this is where most of you are struggling right now, is you had a business that was focused on international clients, and now you're in a point where you don't have the ability to draw an international business, and you say, oh, the locals don't want to come visit local areas because they already know about them. In that case, you're thinking about it wrong, because you're thinking that the draw is the destination, and the draw should be the community that you're building. If you build the right community with similar interests, then people are going to show up no matter where it is. I mean, if you told me that there's going to be a meetup of, let's say, mountaineers. There's going to be a meetup for people that are interested in mountaineering in my area. I would show up if it was to the local coffee shop, even though I've been to the local coffee shop a million times, because it's not the coffee shop that draws me in, it's the community. So that's definitely something I want you to consider. Another point, I'm just really stacking the deck here for points on why this is something you should consider. It's actually much, much easier to market to the individuals that you're looking for, because if you're going into digital marketing, you can find these individuals. And first of all, I'm going to say you don't have to pay for this, but a really quick way to find these individuals and market to them, you can market to interests on Facebook. You can market to almost any interest you can think of. So if your interest is you're going to take people bird watching, you can absolutely market to that on Facebook. You can target all the local people that have any interest in bird watching in your area and let them know that you're forming this community and you're going to do regular events and take them out. And it's a club, it's a community that they pay to be part of. You can also absolutely do this organically. I should also state that right up until this point, all of the marketing that we've done for our business has been organic. We actually haven't paid a dime for it. And that's the beauty of targeting a community of like-minded interested people. You find those people already hanging out in other accounts where they're grouping themselves together, and you just need to make them aware of the fact that you exist. And then from there, then you can put offers in front of them and say, hey, we're having a gathering this time and this day. And here's what the cost is to come and join that. So this is something I'm definitely going to ask that you think about, and that really I would say give it a shot. There's no reason not to, especially if you're on any kind of government subsidies right now. As much as that's stressful, because it's probably not as much as you were making before, it actually gives you the opportunity to take some risks, because you kind of have that money coming in whether you succeed or not. So now would be the time to try something different, make a pivot, and you don't have to keep it forever. If it doesn't work, don't do it, but don't keep doing the thing that's not working for you. So that's what I'm going to leave you with. I actually got to go. I got a meeting right now. So hopefully this was helpful to you. If it was, I would love to hear from you. Why don't you, if this works for you, or even if you just like the concept or you want to know more about the concept, write to me at info@tourismmanagementacademy.com. And that link is almost always in the description. Write to me there and let me know either how it went, or let me know how it's going, or let me know any questions you have around that. I want to help you out. We're doing okay. And it seems to me, as I look around, that just so many tour companies out there, they don't see another option or another opportunity from what they've got, or they're just struggling and they can't see anyone that's doing this successfully. And we're making it work. So I want to share that with you. And I want to share with you just a way to succeed that you might not have thought of. So if you like this podcast, go ahead, give me a rating, or share it. Really, I'd love you to share this with other tour operators. Take this moment right now, pause this thing, and share this with a fellow tour operator that you think could really use this model successfully in the area that they're in. Okay. Appreciate your guys' time and attention. I know that you could be listening to a million other podcasts, so thanks for listening to this one, and can't wait to see you next week on the next episode of Tourism Marketing Mastery.